We're on to James chapter 4. Would you like to open in prayer? Let's just pray. Open up in prayer and just ask the Lord to just lead us and to direct us in His Word and just cause us to receive more from Him.
Heavenly Father, here we are once again in this place. We need you, O Lord. We want to know you, to understand your heart,
yeah,
in order to walk in the way that you want us to walk.
Yeah.
And while we're still here on earth, to have impact in people's life who are around us and all those that we coming across to. Father, we want to make this time a time to remember. Therefore, Father, it's not by our might or power, but by your Spirit, that this time can be the one to remember. Give us the inspiration that we need, especially feel the one leading us, Father, this evening. All for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're looking at James chapter 4 tonight and continuing on with our study of James. Just reminding us that James was possibly one of the first books written in the New Testament, written to the early Christians that were under James's responsibility and covering in Jerusalem. And so it's he's beginning to deal with issues that he sees in the church and ministering to them, just taking them deeper into the Lord, bringing them out of the law and bringing them into the grace of God. Or maybe a better word would be bringing them back to the grace of God, which was in the beginning. So, and we, the death of Christ and his resurrection and our redemption was so that God could restore things back to the beginning. And because we read that when God had finished in creation, he said it was good. In fact, it was very good. God was delighted with his creation until sin came in and began to spoil it. So let's look at James chapter 4 and just begin to see some of the conflicts and some of the issues that were happening in the early church. And then we will also see if anything's changed 2,000 years later. James chapter 4. And I'm going to read from the Amplified initially so that it brings out some bit more things with it as well. It doesn't flow as easily at times, but anyway. Question is asking, what leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desire that they are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covetous what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. To burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment and the happiness that you seek, so you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. We'll just pause there, really. And so obviously the new Christians are still dealing with some of the fleshly issues and desires in their own lives, and there's strife in the church, and that is one of the worst things you can have. When you have strife in a church, discord, feuds, you know, can't agree with so-and-so, I'm not going to speak to that person again, you know, never speak to them again, they've offended me, and so it goes on. But Jesus said, love one another, as I have loved you. And even when Peter denied Christ three times, Jesus reached out to him in love and reached out to him to restore him back to himself. And so that is an example of how we should operate. Sometimes it is not easy. You know, you can have an off day. You come in and you might be weary, tired, etc. You might have had a difficult day at work or at school, whatever it is. And then suddenly somebody says something and it just happens to it's like stroking a cat the wrong way. It doesn't like it. You stroke its fur the right way and it will stay there forever. You know. It knows when you stroke its fur the right way, it has been adored. It has been loved. It has been worshipped as far as the cat seems to, you know, it just thinks, carry on, you know, this is heaven to me. And so those of you that have had cats, you know, you see it and it's like they'll stay there and wear you out while you just do it, apart from when they want feeding. And so we have to realise that sometimes we can just get our feathers or our fur ruffled up slightly, and if we can off our guard that moment and we can bite and retaliate, and then afterwards we regret what we've said. And so I suppose that really moves us back to where James was talking earlier on about taming the tongue. Sometimes we just have to say, bite your tongue. But you know, there has been times when I've suddenly, even I've managed to do it, bite my tongue. It's like, okay, don't say that. Don't go that route, Andrew, because that is the route of the flesh. That is going to be the route of self-gratification. And you think, yeah, I could just, you know, but it's like, no. You've matured. You've grown in grace. I have a double portion. I have my wife, Grace, and I'm receiving the grace of God. And so you begin to grow in grace, and the process is still working, by the way. Yeah. I've not arrived yet. Mm-hmm. But that process is ongoing in our lives. And so as that works through us, then when it comes to this point of feuds and discord, you just think, you begin to learn that life is too short to keep falling out. Life is too short to have feuds and disagreements and not to speak to people. And you heard me talking about something last week with regard to people who can just block you out for 3-6 months at a time as if you don't even exist. Well, life's too short for that. And I learned that is not the way to live life. Life is about your relationship with other people. Our relationship with the Lord. You see, as we connect with each other, the truth should be that we, as we connect with each other, should enrich each other's life. Mm. Not draw down and cause us to become weak. But we do draw from one another, but in that drawing from one another, we also give back to each other, and there's an enriching of our lives. And so that's very important, that much of the time we need to be mixing with people who can enrich our lives.
Yeah.
Because that's why we're here. We've had a meal together because we were this side of town, and we sat and we were talking and we were laughing about our experiences together that have enriched our lives. And some of them at the time didn't always seem to be quite good, did they? But you laugh about them and they enrich your life together. I remember a time when Bill and I were heading to Holland, Manchester Airport. And we looked at our flights and we were early for everything and said, we're going to have some breakfast. So we didn't go through security or customs check. There was this restaurant. We thought, this looks nice up here. You would, quite posh. So up there we went and sat, waiter service, and we sat there and we were overlooking the tarmac. Thought, this is wonderful, this. And then we saw this, was it Dutch airline? KLM airline, taxiing down the runway. And we just about finished our meal, and Bill says, "Won't that be funny if that were our aeroplane?" And I looked at him, I said, "Don't be daft." I said, "Ours is not due out for another 3/4 an hour to an hour at least." So I said, "Anyway, we better pop down there and get through the system." So off we went, and we got through security, we got through the other side. We're walking down this corridor, and there's this KLM representative walking to us, and she looked at us and she said, "Mr. Golder, Mr. Ross." And I went, I thought, "Nick, how does she know that? There's just him and me." And she's like, "Mr. Golder, Mr. Ross." I thought, "Wow, how does she know that?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, yeah, your flight's gone." I said, "What? Yeah, your flight's left. We've been tannoying for you." I said, "Well, we've been other side eating." "Tannoy doesn't work the other side. You've got to get through security. We were in the wrong place." Mm-hmm. So they had to put us on another plane. But, hey, so what?
And everything after that went wrong. In coming back, we end up in Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, we had its challenges, but we look back and we can laugh at it and rejoice. Because, in truth, we were blessed, weren't we? You know, God was with us, and we learned things and we experienced things. Now, we could have taken it differently. It could have been discord between us. It was your fault that you wanted breakfast and you said, "Let's go up here," and you know, etc. You can start feuds. I mean, we were coming back, we were sat in the airport waiting for his aeroplane, and suddenly I looked up at the screen and our flight had disappeared. Again! Not there, just disappeared off the board. I said to Bill, "We're in trouble again, come on." And it had, they'd cancelled it.
About 75% of all flights to anywhere in the world were cancelled, weren't they?
Yeah, it was just crazy. But, hey, God was with us and God dealt with it and that. But it's this thing of not taking the bite straight away. You say, "Oh, God's in charge. God has a plan. God is sorting things out." And so you don't get into conflicts. It is not worth the energy of getting into a conflict, into a quarrel, as it says, and into fights. It's not worth it. That's not what God created us for. God created us to live in peace and harmony with his creation and with each other and with God. When sin came in, sin brought us to a place where it became a war. Sin brought us to a place where it brought us to a place of enmity with God. There's this warring between us. There's this distance that has been created through sin. There's this, we would term it in one sense, there's an atmosphere that has been created between you and God in your sinful state. And until Jesus comes in and as that catalyst and neutralizes the atmosphere that allows us then to pass across into the presence of God. That's a good analogy, that one. I like that one. And so we can just move across then into the presence of God, but it's all about Jesus, that when Jesus comes in, he begins to deal with the atmosphere of sinfulness that has come into our lives and that has caused us to become separated from God. It's created this vacuum between us and God in that sense. And obviously in a vacuum there's no air, so if we had attempted to cross it, we would die in the process. But when Jesus comes into our lives, Jesus brings us to a place where we can pass through into the very presence of God. He has made a way where there was no way.
Amen.
He's made an entrance for us into the presence of God where there was no entrance, mm-hmm. because sin had barred it. And so we can move in that realm. And so our fighting, our stressing and quarrels and feuds are not of the nature of God. They're of the nature of the father, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he seeks to bring dissent, and he seeks to bring disagreements between brothers and sisters so he can begin to destroy the church.
That's
the
right.
Church is stronger when we're united.
Yeah.
When we stand together.
Yeah.
In his word, when we stand together on the promises of God, And then there is, when there are no fractions in us, we are solid and sound.
Yeah.
I know when I used to work in the steel industry, we had to, at times, we make items for high quality engineering products, and they had to be completely solid and sound to give full strength, because there was a limited amount of material that could be used. They also had to be crack free, and so we would test them for to see whether they were solid. We could do it by ultrasonics, we could do it by x-rays, we could do it by destructive testing, by cutting samples up and checking to see whether we'd got a run of things that were okay. We had to check for cracks after certain treatments. A material or a product will go through some form of heat treatment cycle, and then when you bring it out, it had to be checked to see that it had not cracked in the process, because the material was suspect to cracking, and if it was cracked, it was no good. It was a weak point in it. And so in the church, we don't want cracks in us.
No.
We can go through a process at times. There is a process sometimes when the heat seems to be applied to us. Heat to our relationships, you know.
Yeah.
Will this relationship stand?
Yeah.
Or will it crumble and crack under the pressure?
Yeah.
And so many relationships can crack under the smallest pressure.
Mm.
Or be destroyed under the smallest pressure, because cracks have appeared.
Mm.
And the problem is, we've allowed the cracks to appear. And instead of taking remedial action to the crack by bringing in the word of God and cutting out the crack, cutting out that which has brought the feud, which has brought the quarrelling and discord, we've let it continue, and under the pressure it grows and increases till it brings a total failure, and relationships fail like that. So it says that, you know, there's this warring going on in our bodies constantly. There's a warring, and so often that can be that when the world says it's all about me,
yeah.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
Today's generation is about me.
Yeah.
Me, mine.
Yeah.
And what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And the world seems to operate constantly, and it's, I've got to have this, I've got to have that, and then I'm happy.
Mm.
And then we find out when they've got what they said they wanted, they're not really happy.
Yeah.
Because there's something missing inside of everything that we have and take hold of, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's this constant warring for things, for relationships. And we're constantly going back and backwards and forwards between these things, only then to discover when we get something, it still doesn't bring that peace. It still doesn't bring that satisfaction into our lives. And the only thing that satisfies is Christ.
Yeah.
Mm.
And when you're satisfied in Christ, everything else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture says He will supply all your needs according to His riches. Not your bank account, not your job, not the government,
mm-hmm.
but according to His riches
mm-hmm.
in Christ Jesus. And so there is this thing where also at times that our faith is being pushed to develop. Our faith is being pushed to grow, to go beyond the belief. We heard just recently that one of the top leaders in the Church of England asked, they doubted through something mm-hmm. that had happened recently in Paris, about they doubted that there was a God. Why did He not intervene? Simple answer. The French, a long time ago, told God to clear off. They didn't need Him. And so you tell God you don't need Him, then God is a gentleman. God will not force Himself upon you.
It's like America with 9/11. They didn't want Him. Then when it happened, they said, where were God?
Where were God? It's like these school massacres that they've had in the States. And then they start saying, where was God? Well, you kicked Him out of school.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're not having prayers. We're not reading Scripture. We're not having this in our assemblies. Kick Him out. And so how can you turn around and say, where is God, when you actually turn around and told Him to leave?
And I said, wasn't it Billy Graham's daughter that said that on an interview?
Yes, she did. She also reiterated fairly recently, in the last few months, that, you know, you can't. So that was
on my Facebook, if you remember.
Yeah, in one breath, you know, we turn around and say, we don't want God. You see, we're fine. Everything's tickety-boo, everything's going great, everything's good, you know, we're riding high, this is lovely. I don't need God. Where we live, people, when Billy Graham came to our country, and when Sheffield was on, we went door-knocking on some people's doors, and one person said, all he's interested in is money. I thought, you don't even know Billy Graham. Billy Graham is not in any way like that, right? But, you see, the other thing was, this guy, he'd got a good job, earned a lot of money. Where we live, they're content. As far as they're concerned, they don't need God. Yeah. Sadly, he died not a few years ago, premature, really. Dementia. Mm. And he took his life. And he had no quality of life towards the end. Money can't change that.
No.
No matter how much money you have, it cannot change that.
I want to say, if they don't need God in this life, they need him when they come to end of
the
life.
That's a million pounds.
Yeah, that's right, John. When one comes to the end of one's life, God, you need God.
Mm.
He's there for you, as long as you've accepted him in this life and given him his rightful place. So, we need to deal with the warring in our members. Sometimes there's a warring just within us. And that's a challenge to deal with. You know, I mean, it's like you weren't double-minded until you came to Christ, because you enjoyed sinning, you carried on and you loved to sin, and you didn't know you were sinning, and everything was great, you were single-minded about sinning. But when you came to Christ, you suddenly became double-minded. Should or I shouldn't I? Can or I can't I? Will I or won't I? You had the opportunity now to become, you know, to choose. Can you still be single-minded and say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? And we have to make those decisions, don't we? And sometimes we can turn around and say, well, you know, what about the predicament that I'm in? What about the things that are happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? And sometimes the answer is, I do not know. And sometimes we won't know for maybe a number of years why certain things have happened to us. And then as we look back, we can see. In fact, we were talking today, and you know, something happened in our lives many years ago, and it was 18 months later to 2 years that we realised what God had done was already, he'd gone before us. God knew what was going to happen in 18 months' time. We didn't. See, there's no way that you and I can know what's going to happen in 18 months' time. We don't even really know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
We might have a diary that says this is what we're going to do tomorrow. But will you wake up tomorrow?
Don't know.
I don't know. And like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So, enjoy the moment. That might be a good theme, actually, isn't it, really? Enjoy the moment. Enjoy what you've got now.
Yeah.
Enjoy where you are now.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moment. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in that. So, and if we start to enjoy the moment, we'll start dealing with strife, discord, discontent, you know, feuds, etc. These things won't come up, because I'm going to enjoy the moment. And if you want to enjoy the moment so much, you're going to make a decision. I'm not going to let this situation, this person, spoil my moments.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that you have. These are the decisions that you can make, being single-minded. You know, the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm not going to let somebody rob me of my peace. It's mine. It's that peace is my divine right in Christ Jesus. So why should I let somebody else rob it from me? Think about the issues when Roy Blessing had to be put into that home for care, etc. And there were others who were saying, oh, you should do this, you should do that, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that, etc. And so it went on. Well, you then said, Lord, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And things looked as if they were going against you, because the others had got a louder voice, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But you know, in that whisper
mm-hmm.
prayer to God,
mm-hmm.
there's power.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There's more power in a whispered prayer to
yes.
God than there is in all the shouting that goes on in the world.
Yeah.
And in that whispered prayer to God, God went before you in that meeting.
Yeah.
And God brought everything to pass.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to speak. You'd done your speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You'd spoke it out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You'd given him your burden. You'd laid it at his feet. And in doing that, he said, I'll deal with it, John. I've got it sorted. Everything's in hand. And so God begins to move. And then we're surprised when it happens, aren't we? In a nice way, we're surprised and then we start, we rejoice. And it's like, wow, what just happened? And we're astonished by it. But why should we be astonished? Because we asked. And the Bible,
we should expect it.
The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Start to ask. But ask with the right spirit. Ask with the right motivation. Ask with the right desire. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And it moves on into that here in James, actually. Verse 2. You are jealous and covetous of what others have. You know, it's like, look what they've got. Oh, I want one of them. And it's like, oh, why should they? I remember somebody saying, why should Andrew and Grace have that when we're here, we are struggling to help them out and everything. And it's like, excuse me? I remember one of our young people saying, well, if you trust God like they trust God, maybe you can have what they've got. And I thought, wow. That was a statement that shook me when I heard it, because I didn't think that person was up to that sort of level of stepping out. But it's true. Do the right thing between you and God and watch God bless you.
Amen.
God will give you what you have need of. So, you are jealous and covetous of what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. When you start getting jealous of what other people have got, what they've got might actually destroy you.
Yeah.
Might be just too much for you to handle. What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything. But there are situations where there are certain times when God, God gave something to somebody, they couldn't handle it. And it would bring destruction on their lives. And so sometimes there is a process that we as individuals have to go through, that God begins to prepare us for the future.
Exactly, yeah.
And in our preparation, he's preparing us for greater things.
Mm.
Paul says that he knew how to abound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew how to have a lot, but it didn't rule him. And he said, and I know what it is to have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't rule me neither.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this thing. You see, it's having again this trust, this relationship between you and God, this peace between you and God, this absolute trust that God is going to do what he needs to do for you, but it's you who have got to let him begin to do it. And you've got to move with it. And you've got to put your elbow to the work. You know, you've got to lean into it and press into it and let God begin to do it. And as God begins to do it, you are there going with the flow of the things of God, and you're just following through constantly as God is moving. And so I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. He says, you're jealous and covetous what others have, and your desires go unfilled, so you become murderers. Now that's a strong terminology, isn't it? Because suddenly you say, so and so's got so and so and so, and I wanted that. I hate him. Whoa! Now, you know, we can go back, and there's life and death
mm-hmm.
is in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, you've heard me say many times before, watch what you say. Listen to what you are saying. Your words are creative. Watch what you say. Say the right words. Bring to birth the right things according to the word of God. And so you start saying, I hate them, that family. Why should they? I hate what they've got. You know, they seem to get everything. It's like, you're just destroying yourself. You're committing a murder. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said, if you even think it, you've already done it. So, I mean, let's be honest, it counts as all out, I would think. But the Bible says, take every thought
captive.
So, there's a way out. Grab that thought. Nail it to the cross. Crucify the thing and say, no, I love that family. God bless them. And in blessing them, Lord, I know you'll bless me. Because again, it's this, it's sorting out our own mental ascent to things and our spiritual awakening to things, that we move into the presence of God and trust God to keep us. It's not about what the government can do for us. More and more we're seeing that the nations are being broken financially. Heaven's not, by the way.
Amen. Never will be.
Heaven's not broke. Never will be. And it's important that you remember that, that no matter what happens, God is there all the time. And so you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification and contentment and that happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. So he's going through all of this in quite some detail with the church and saying, look, you're burning, your desire burns to have something, and you begin to be so focused on having and getting that you forget God. And you don't focus on God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who supplies all our need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And so we need to realise that things don't elevate us. Things are not the ones that give us total gratification. They only satisfy for a season. As mentioned, you know, all the gadgets and everything and that, they're only for a season, and the newness begins to wear off. And then they're looking for something else to give them some sort of gratification and satisfaction. And, you know, it's even like the games they download and that, and they play them for a while, and they've got bored of that. No more do they get gratified by winning, they've got to have another one, you see. But in the same way, spiritually, our gratification comes from God, not from the things of this world. But when you plug into God, God will satisfy the desires of your heart. There is a satisfying gratification that comes from God that supersedes everything else that's in the world. Being content with God and what God supplies to us. Verse 3 says, or you do not ask God for them and yet fail to receive them, because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. Sometimes people ask the question, why doesn't God do this for me? Why doesn't God do that for me? Why doesn't God heal me? That's been a question that's been asked many times. And in some cases, the answer to that is, if God healed that person, they'd walk away from God in church and never be seen again. And during that, they would lose their soul. They would lose their relationship with God. And so God is more interested in your soul than he is in your body. You see, your body will decay, but the soul lives forever. And so God is interested in eternity. Right? Jesus has already got a new body for us. And so this fleshly body that is made of dust, and the only reason it lives is because God breathed into it. Without God breathing into it, it'd still be dust.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave it long enough and you can get a vacuum cleaner and you can suck it up, can't you? And that'll be it. And there you are. Here's Andrew in a vacuum cleaner. That's all it can be, if you're necessary. Andrew in a vacuum cleaner. Well, I don't see him. Yeah, just a pile of dust.
Well, they always say there's somebody coming or somebody coming.
Yeah, when you if you haven't moved the bed for a while, you come to clean underneath, and you say, there's somebody coming or somebody going underneath there. Not sure which, you know, there's that much dust. And you just begin to wonder. And so when you've got to realise that God is not just interested about the physical things. The problem is we become so focused mentally on the physical things around us that we forget God is spirit.
Mm.
And that we are spirit too.
Mm.
And there is much more to be had in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That when we're blessed in that spirit realm, then the physical realm begins to be blessed.
Yeah.
When we listen to God, when we flow with God, when we put God right in the centre of our lives, he will take care of us.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, it's all right for you to talk. Well, hang on. We've been doing it for 43 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And we've purposely tried to keep God right in the centre. Sometimes we've not always succeeded in it. But most of the time, we've focused and we've kept God right in the centre.
Seek ye
first. Oh, yeah, okay, we're back to that. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Jesus in the centre. Jesus in the centre. Jesus. Everything revolves around Christ. In him, through him. All things exist because of him. So, God can do a great work.
Mm.
We were just laughing and sort of sharing experience of Romania and one man that God gave me a word to him, and I still to this day don't know what I said to him. But he knew. And he went and he dragged me out. 6 months later we went, took me after the meeting finished to show me the promise that God had given him when I was there. And at that point he said, I know God's faithful to his promises. I know God exists. His faith was renewed in the word of God.
Mm.
Because he'd had so many prophecies over his life. He just got to the point where God don't exist, does he? Because none of them had come to pass. Do you know why? Because these people were out there for self-gratification to look good as they're prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're doing damage to the church.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing damage to the body of Christ when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, and it says, and test it.
Mm-hmm.
Test it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have to test it, and when I'm home in home church, I have to test it twice because I know you. I know about you. And so I have to say, has this come out of my mind or does it come from the Spirit of God? So it's more challenging for me. It's more difficult, shall I say, in that sense as well. Go to another church where I don't know anybody, and if it just comes to me, that's fine. It's got to be the Spirit of God, hasn't it? Because I don't know. So I just jump in and go with it, you see. So as I say, home, find it more challenging to do that, because what I want to do is to give what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, not something I might be feeling personally.
Mm.
So one has to deal with that and face those challenges, because you know there's a great responsibility that God places on those who have been given the position to teach and to care for the flock. And so we have to constantly check ourselves. What God gives us, believe it or not, is not just to spend on us.
Mm-hmm.
What God gives us is not just to spend on us. But wait a minute, I've worked for this. Yeah, I know you. So have I. But can we bless somebody?
Yeah.
Mm.
Can we give somebody a lift and bless somebody?
Yeah.
Can we offer somebody a helping hand and bless somebody who's not quite as fortunate as us?
Yeah.
Can we help in certain areas where there's a need of help, that will release somebody to do something else? You know, because you've got a talent, you've got an ability. Can you bless somebody with that? And in sowing that blessing, you will reap a harvest. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That is a principle of sowing and reaping. Mm-hmm. You don't receive back the same thing. You receive back something different. You receive back that which you have need of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might put these seeds in and you think, oh, I'm going to get the same thing back. No, you're not. You're going to get, God is going to meet your needs. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Going to meet your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Not your wants. God knows everything that you have need of. But you first have to sow. So I've got the money. God's not necessarily asking for your money. Might be asking for your time. And you might say, well, I've got plenty of that at the moment. Well, start to sow it. And in sowing that time, you're probably going to find that God might sow back to you from finances. You think, well, how does that work? I don't know, that's God. Because God knows what you need. Right? I might not know what you need, but God does. Because he's God.
Yes, he is.
You might think you know what you need, but not necessarily. But God does. So, what can you sow? Is the thing that we ask. And that's to everybody, every believer, every disciple. What are you going to sow? And as Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He's sowing everything. Everything he's got, he's giving. Time, money, effort, whatever anybody wants, he's going to give it, because he's made a decision. For him to live is Christ. There's nothing else to live for. The world's got nothing to offer him in the end. And that, there's a great truth in that.
Absolutely.
Because stuff falls apart, it rusts, it decays, it crumbles all around us, all the time. Needs constant attention. This building that we're in, it is in a constant state of decay. Crumbling in different areas. Wearing down in different areas. Needs constant attention. And God looks at us and says, I know what you need. I've got plans for you. And so all we do is we give. We just give of ourselves back to God, back to God, back to God. As we give back to God, he will give back to us. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, the word says. But it's not about, God is not, doesn't give so that you can just simply hoard it upon yourself. We started last night, actually, just for a moment, just watch for just a few minutes the programme on billionaires, or whatever it was called, the super rich, how they can spend $100 billion on a yacht. And you're just like, what? Boy, I know, give me $100 billion, I'll show you what to do with $100 billion, and that's certainly not a yacht.
No.
The needs of, and the projects that I could go out and just set in motion. I don't think I need to take anything out of the $100 billion. Just to set these projects in motion and see God moving in releasing the opportunity for God to move in across the nations in people's lives.
I don't think you might can go
around
a billion. I
can't get my head around it. I'm not sure at times I can even write it properly.
I mean, we talk about millions now, and in our days, £1,000.
No,
millions, nothing.
Houses, you know, the cost of houses, and you just think, ooh.
There is a young pastor back home who took over his father to quite a large church. He's a very good singer and songwriter. He wrote and sang one beautiful song. that has blessed many churches. But when I saw the clip, I was really upset at the point that I don't even want to listen to that song again, in a sense, because back home in the church, you can expect many poor people in the church. So that clip, he shot it somewhere in Europe, I don't know if it's Spain or where, and he hired a yacht. He was on top there, singing. So I was looking and said, how much have you spent to hire that yacht for you to shoot this clip? And it took a Mercedes that he opened the rooftop. So he invested a lot of money, though he has many poor people in his church back home. So my spirit was really, really fuming. So when you said that those people spend so much money on yacht, it came to my spirit. I told Becky, I said, I don't know what's wrong with this guy.
And, you know, the Bible says the poor you will have with you always. You know, and we have to care for people along the way. We have to assist where we can. It's part of our responsibility that God has given to us, that we care for one another. If we don't do that, we fail. We fail God, we fail our calling in God, in one sense. And that can be done in different ways, there's no doubt about it. We're not just talking about money. You know, sometimes it's just about actually being there to somebody or helping out somewhere for some people. Because you're sowing, in some way, you're sowing your life into other people's lives. And the life that you and I have is the life that God has given to us. And so when we sow into somebody's life, we're actually sowing God into somebody's life. That's what happens. And so we go out, the word says that, you know, we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go out sowing as ambassadors. We go out sowing the Lord Jesus into people's lives. And that is such an important thing to do. And as we do that, we see God beginning to move. And so it's not about lavishing it upon ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with having a nice standard of living. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But if that takes first position, then there is something wrong. Back to, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put Jesus in the centre, put him in the right place, and God will bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. And in blessing others, you'll get such a great reward. Just to see people blessed. Just to see what God has done, we were talking about when we went out to Strasbourg. We went out there and we just sowed some seeds. We ministered on the love of God. And the report came back to us months later. Because of that sowing that weekend, the church has multiplied and grown. And you think, wow, but we're not there to see that. We're not reaping that harvest. We've sown seeds in another man's work, in another man's field. And there's a harvest coming up for him. But, you know, because of that, God will reward us accordingly.
Amen.
In due season.
In due season.
You see, we're not going to get jealous and say, well, hang on, you know, we went out there preaching this and that, and there he's got this increase. What about us? In due season. Yeah, just don't get weary about it. Just don't focus on what somebody else has got. You see, focus on what God's given you and use it. Use it to his glory. And watch God work. And it's like, okay, I'm going to do this.
I saw a video on YouTube last night, and speaking of needing wants, this bloke, he's got a suit on and he's covered it in banknotes. And he's got a sign up saying, take what you need. Of course, all the greedy people. He says to one of them, "Do you need that?" He says, "No, but it's free, so I'm having it." He goes a bit further on and sees a homeless bloke. He says to him, "Do you need any of this?" So the homeless bloke just took $2. He said, "I haven't any food to eat here, or nothing." He says, "That will get me something to eat." He says, "Don't you need any more? What about tomorrow?" He said, "No, that's not a little bit for now."
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And there is a strong message in that, you see.
There is, yeah.
A very strong message in that. It's this greed and this jealousy that is in the world today that is bringing about the troubles that the world has. The envy, the strife between nations.
Yeah.
The wars that have happened over the years. The greed and power and jealousy. And then it wreaks havoc and destruction. And the people in the middle who suffer are the ones who have not volunteered or entered into this. The casualties of somebody else's greed and envy and jealousy and backbiting and murmuring. And it's like, well, you know, it comes from that same root.
Yeah.
I will exalt my throne,
yeah, mm-hmm,
above the Most High. The words of Satan. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. You know, I'm going to rule the world. No, you're not. The world belongs to God,
mm-hmm,
and everything that is in it. And he's the one who's going to rule and reign. Whether you allow him in at this point in time, that's immaterial. Because the end of it all is that God has the right to rule and to reign. And at some point in time, he will take up that absolute right and rule and reign.
Yeah.
When we've come to the end of ourselves, to the appointed day, God will rule and reign. And for you and I, we need to ensure that that day for us is now. That he's going to rule and reign eternally in all things. Over all things and in all things forever and ever and ever.
Mm.
Now the devil wants to say, "No, no, you want to keep a little bit back."
Mm-hmm.
You don't. All to him, that song, "I surrender. All to him I freely give him."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great song that was sung in the Billy Graham times as well. "I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. We've got nothing." And so you give it to him freely.
C.T. Studd, when he went on the mission field, when God called him, he inherited his parents' wealth, but he wouldn't use it for anything. He wouldn't even use it for his own projects. He gave every bit of it away. And he said, "My source of supply is not my inheritance. My source of supply is in. He called me. He'll take me through."
It's a great challenge, that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to actually say, "Well, you know, I've got all this money. I could use this, couldn't I, to do the work on the mission field?" But then again, it comes back to then that C.T. Studd did this.
Yeah.
Not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gave it away so that as he followed through and followed the Lord, he could turn and say, "My God has done this.
Mm-hmm.
My God has supplied the need. And I am dependent upon him, not upon my wealth. I'm not dependent upon what I've got. I'm not trusting in the world system, but I'm trusting in a heavenly system that is far greater than the world system. And the heavenly system will never break."
No.
The world system has been broken a number of times. But God's system never breaks. And so it's important that we realise this. What God is doing in our lives. I don't know, I think maybe we can sort of just stop at that tonight.
Yeah.
But let's make sure that our pleasure and our delight is in God.
Amen.
Not in things,
mm-hmm.
not in individuals,
mm-hmm.
but it's in Christ himself, the author and finisher of our faith, the reason that you and I are here, the reason that we're moving forward, the reason that we're in health and strength is because Christ is in us. The reason that we've passed exams. Yes, we've done our part, but he's been with us in every step of the way.
Yeah.
God has given us the ability, and we've used it, and let's use it for his glory. What talents has God given you? Use it for his glory, not for self-gratification, his glory. The talents and the gifts that we've got came from God.
Yeah.
We could go to the parable of the talents, and our talents have all come from God.
Yeah.
He chose to give them to you so that you might use them for his glory and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. And rejoice what God has given to us. And as we do that, we will see God moving in a mighty way.
Amen.
As I say, back to that hymn, I surrender all to Jesus, I freely give. And he gave everything for us, dear God. Christ submitted himself to the cruel death of the cross. He put down his sensual desires, he put down his happiness for the future, he put down self-gratification, just so that you and I could be restored back into that relationship with God.
Yeah.
He broke through that vacuum that separated us from the very presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in breaking through, he has allowed us entrance into the very presence of God himself. Our Father,
mm-hmm.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Where? In my life.
Mm-hmm.
In my life. And as the kingdom of God comes in our lives, we will affect others around us.
Amen.
With the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're to go around infecting people with the kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're to be a virus.
Mm-hmm.
Affecting people with the kingdom of God. Glory to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, we'll see the kingdom of God coming and gaining strength and power. And we'll see the name of Jesus magnified and glorified. And we'll see Satan being crushed underneath our feet.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't care what the world system say, don't care what's happening at the moment in the world. The church is growing. It might
Amen.
Not be growing in this country at the moment, but there is a stirring.
Yeah.
There is an undercurrent.
There
is a move of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, people say, well, I can't see it. No, well, because it's the Spirit. And it's not by the natural thing that we're going to see this, but it is going to be by the Spirit of God.
Spirit.
Yeah.
God is Spirit. And we have to run with this, and we have to, you know, drink of it, and we have to seek God, and we have to pray about this, and then just let God move us. You know, last Friday there were about 8 girls coming to the youth meeting and what have you. You know, it's like, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Seeds are being sown,
mm-hmm.
seeds are being sown, seeds are being sown. Get involved in something like that. Seeds are being sown. This is it. These are eternal things.
Yeah.
You know, you're snatching a life from a burning hell.
Yeah.
And you're bringing them into paradise.
Amen.
Live seeds are being sown. That's what it's about. It's about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God that's going to bring them into the kingdom of God. And we're not jealous of them. We're just jealous for God that they will be drawn into that kingdom and drawn into his presence. Amen?
Amen.
So rejoice and pray for the youth work. Pray for the things that's happening. And expect God to do even bigger things.
Yeah.
You know, same with the language class.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lady who's a Hindu. She's not a Christian. She started coming. She's come to one of the sessions, I think 2 of the sessions so far. And she's also come to the church.
Mm.
So, straight away, you know, seeds are being sown. The doors is opening. Where you're reaching out. And it's drawing people into the kingdom. It's, we're going to be drawing people into relationships.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, for me, what we do needs to function from this place. You know, this place needs to be functioning under the anointing of God, and everything that we do needs to be by the anointing of God,
yeah.
by the Spirit of God. Even the language class needs to be anointed by the Spirit
yeah.
of God,
yeah.
that it will draw men and women. And even you might feel, well, I'm not qualified, I'm inadequate. Be there.
Mm.
Because I tell you what, a friendly face and a laugh.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, these classes have been great. There's been laughter and joy in the place. And, you know, they're looking at us and thinking, you know, these non-Christians look at us and think, they're laughing. They're happy people. And some of their experiences have been about law, legalism, what you can't do, what you shouldn't do, where you can't go. All these negatives. And yet here we are, enjoying things. And they're like, wow. These people are happy. Wonder why? Because their gods demand offerings and sacrifices and laws. But our God says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
He does.
Amen.
Amen.
And so he does. So praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Amen.
Just over an hour tonight.
Very good. Impressive. I don't know, last week didn't seem like more than 5 minutes.